Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
I'm looking in the transfer portal. I want winning players, the definition of that. Nate Bauer, sir, welcome.
Oh, wow. What an intro. Thanks for having me.
It's what we do in this industry. We come up with winning intros.
Sure. Well, I'm flattered. I'll keep coming back. I mean, seriously, this.
That's the entire idea of it. All right. I will start with yesterday, because James Franklin and Justin Lustig, and then the second-year players all got a chance to talk. What was your impressions of each as you went through it? James, Justin, start with James first.
Yeah. Let me think. I mean, James was James, right? The conversation kind of runs the gamut, right? I mean, it's February. There was no signing class to speak of. That whole February signing day is a thing of the past, obviously, in terms of its relevance. But it was the first time we've spoken with him since certainly hiring Lustig. There has been some time, right, a few weeks of Andy Kotelnicki and Tom Allen being on campus and, you know, those guys kind of settling in so that, they're, you know, he was able to talk about that. But the thing that stood out to me was two things, really. The conversation regarding the SEC and Big Ten in terms of his satisfaction and relief, I would say, that the commissioners of those conferences are being proactive about trying to find a path forward for college football. He gave pretty detailed answers and responses and brought it up a few times, right? It's really the first time that I can remember him being encouraged. It's probably a longer conversation for a different day, but Franklin is not shy about sharing opinions of the state of the game, which is not true of everyone, right? But he doesn't mind getting into it a little bit in terms of areas that the game is deficient. So that struck me. And then the second part was, certainly conversation regarding NIL and some of the things that Penn State has institutionally and infrastructurally, I would say, that create the conditions for transfer portal success or not. Right, talking about the academic calendar, I thought that was maybe one of the first times that he's talked about that in those terms, that Penn State's academic calendar being up by a week changes the parameters.
I've talked about that a lot over the years, that it is something to think about, because what it does is it compresses the time for people to make decisions.
Yep. Yeah, so that was James. He was good. I mean, you know, seemed like he was in a good mood, and certainly they're trying to push the program forward, you know, as they work through winter workouts and get into the spring. Justin Lustig was a man of few words. He wasn't big on elaboration, but that's okay, right? It's interesting. You as the media reporters, you want to get a vibe on a guy, and he's, I think, trying to give you the best answers that he can. But at the same time, when it comes to evaluating players and the personnel that he has, it's not, there's no real ability to do that given what the type of work that they're participating in at this point in the year.
Right, you can't. He can't do it until they're out in the spring, and that's even in spring. That's even in scrimmage stuff.
Yeah, and even then, I mean, remember, I think Stacy's first year, they were inside for most of spring practices to the point where, you know, you just really have no idea with your punters in Haluba Hall what they can do and what they can't do.
There are times where you can maybe judge based on which one of the girders they hit.
Yeah. So that was, you know, but certainly a guy who is from Pennsylvania, has a great affinity for Penn State, and this is a natural fit. I think that maybe some of the odd fits that Frank Lynn has had, I mean, certainly I don't think anybody would argue with the success of Joe Lorig and Stacey Collins over the last few years, mm-hmm. But those were West Coast guys. And they wanted to get back to that area of the country. And so to have a guy now in Justin Lustig, who Penn State has flirted with previously in those job searches, right, it gives them maybe some stability there at special teams coordinator.
Now you get a chance to talk to the second-year guys for the first time, which allows people to find out that, for example, Carmelo Taylor is – allergic to red meat.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is one of those things that happens in life, and if you know about it, explains why he doesn't put on a lot of weight. But what were a couple of nuggets you were able to glean from that?
Yeah, you know, so certainly in the midst of winter workouts, you have a lot of these guys who weren't early enrollees last year, who are going through it for the first time, and the guys who, through winter workouts for the first time, and those guys even who were at Penn State last year are going through it for the second time, and they, right, you can get a sense of how they're adjusting, how they're handling it. Look, like, winter workouts stink. They're not fun for anybody. There are very few guys who look forward to winter workouts, even though
I will give you two primary examples from a year ago. Abdul Carter and Deni Dennis Sutton last year went through winter workouts for the first time because they were late enrollees.
Yeah. Jameel Lyons, right? Like, I mean, you name it. Jameel Lyons talking about they do something called aqua bags, which is carrying not that much weight, relatively speaking, but it's water. So it throws them off balance, and it just rips these guys up. I mean, that was, to a man, literally everybody that spoke yesterday that was asked about winter workouts brought up aqua bags as being this awful drill that they have to do. Kills their arms, kills their shoulders, you name it.
Because it's so new. It's new. It's like, yikes.
Yeah. So that was that. Anthony Donko being at tackle, right, and staying at tackle, right? That is where he appears to be kind of settling in, even though he spent all year last year, most of the season until the very last week, repping at guard. That's interesting. Certainly Penn State has a need there after Caden Wallace and Olufoshanu have moved on. Right, tackle's going to be a thing this spring. It is going to be a competition, and they got some guys vying for those opportunities.
Yeah, no question. All right, so the other part, too, when James looks at the landscape, I mean, the expansion of the college football playoff has a chance to be really good. Look, everybody has to realize that since 2016, for the most part, with the exception of maybe two seasons, Penn State's been in the top 93 to 95% in the country. The problem is only the top 3% made it. I mean, and that's how close they've been, and like, and it's hard for people to accept that.
It's just, look, this is something that I've been talking about for a long time. It was an absurdist system, and there are those who are still out there who cling to this notion of what college football should be in the quaint, like, I don't know, love affair with two or four teams being more than enough to represent fairness in the major sports playoffs. Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's been ridiculous for a long time. Right, as I was watching the NFL playoffs, right, even before the Super Bowl, thinking to myself consistently, week in, week out, there are people who exist who would prefer that the wild card and divisional rounds of the NFL, right? Can you imagine that being your opinion? Oh, I don't want this. Let's skip straight to the championship round of the NFL playoffs.
Yep.
All right, and the argument is, oh, it's that's the NFL. College football is different. No, it's not. Stop it.
No, it's not at all. I mean, that's what strikes me about it, is that some of the greatest moments in the NFL playoffs have been in the other rounds and not the Super Bowl.
Totally. And people flock to it, right? There's a reason. In any case, I digress. This is certainly expansion of the playoff is good. I don't think, I'm sure you're tapped into this, Steve. Like, this isn't done, right? This is not the final version of where this is going for this sport. The Big Ten and the SEC in cahoots now is significant. Right? It is going to change the way that this plays out. I will not be surprised if there is a different version of the playoff, even than what, right? I mean, everybody's been so concerned about guarantees for conferences and those types of things.
That'll change next Tuesday.
What if the SEC and Big Ten just do it themselves?
Right. I mean, they could, because it's going to change next Tuesday, because they subtly passed a rule in October that you have to have 8 schools in a conference. So the 2 Pac-12 schools are not going to stand in the way now, because it actually reduces their chances of getting in the playoff. Right. It's going to go 5-7 next week, but whether that's enough, I don't know.
And look, structurally, there's so many things about operationally how the NCAA works that just aren't compatible with fairness. I mean, in every way, right? And I don't begrudge the notion of the NCAA and what it attempted to do at one time in its history, but that's over. That's over, yeah. Right? And NIL has changed that. Removing the barrier, right? Like, NIL cannot be long-term what the funding mechanism is for college player salaries, effectively.
Yeah.
It can't.
Right.
It can't. And so I think that what you've seen is, while there has been, and Franklin talked about it yesterday in a different context, the swinging of the pendulum, that's what he talks about, right, is how it goes back and forth and back and forth. Well, you've seen this swing immensely toward fairness for players in terms of how players are compensated, whether that's by an education or more than that. Mm-hmm. That has been a great progress for players and the participants, the people who actually make the game. Well, they've got to swing the pendulum back, not against the players, but against the unfairness of competitiveness in the game that has been created because of it. It's not about, like, certain programs having an advantage over another. It's, hey, this is wildly unstable. The notion of the transfer portal windows, to have free agency before your postseason. Lane Kiffin talked about it before the Peach Bowl. Like, it's crazy. And so, yeah. I think where you're headed is a much better, more sense-making place. And it might be painful to get there eventually. It might not be right away. But I think that's what the Big Ten and the SEC are aiming to iron out.
There's also another part, too. There's some talk about maybe a small expansion of the NCAA basketball tournament. We'll see how that plays, but that's been broached as well. But you look at next year's Big Ten tournament, 15 of the 18 are going to be going. That means three are out. Chris Holtman, by the way, has been fired today by Ohio State.
Yep.
But to me, that is a move that is a coach killer. I mean, that's a coach killer.
To
the three teams that don't make it, that's a coach killer.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I, This is probably not an opinion you care about, but I think it's absurd to fire a college head coach with a month left to play in the season.
I don't understand that move. I do too. Who knows? Because Gene Smith's leaving, Ross Bjork starts in the summer. Who makes the decision as to whether he's out? Who makes the decision on who the next head coach is?
Yeah, to anyone who is attempting to still make the argument that this has any relationship, that college athletics has any relationship to college, right, to institutions of higher education, these are the kind of things that, right, barring a scandal of which nobody knows anything about, right? Like, nobody is accusing Ohio State and Chris Holtmann of having anything in the closet. It is purely performance-based. They're saying because a team is 4-10 in the Big Ten, that they should axe their head coach. I mean, it's not right.
Well, what has been one of the issues he's had? He's recruited well enough where I think there's been every once in a while a surprise or two that have opted for the NBA draft after the first year. Branham is one of them. They never thought Branham was going to be a one and done. And he ended up being a one and done. And guess what? That means Chris has to figure out how to replace him and couldn't.
Yep. No, and certainly over the years you've seen what's interesting to me and the broader conversation of college coaching, right? And so I'm specifically talking about men's basketball and football, is it as much or more being a general manager than it is anything else, right? I mean, it is overwhelmingly about not what your approach to the game is. It is about how do you manage the roster, how do you acquire talent, how do you manage your coaching staffs and the people that you surround in the program. I mean, and fundraising. Like that's what being a head coach means at this level. Again, I'm cross-pollinating here, but Chip Kelly, from head coach at UCLA to offensive coordinator, it's not because he doesn't want to coach. It's because he does want to coach.
That's right.
Right? You can't if you're a head coach. That's not part of the job responsibility anymore of what that position means. So it's just a very, very interesting time in college athletics.
And you always make it a lot more fun to talk about. So,
hey, that's what I'm here for.
Appreciate you, my friend. We'll see you a little bit later.
Thanks so much, Steve. See you tonight.
And Nate Bauer on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. Great work as always. Great talking with him. We will come back more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.